Welcome back to Business Talk, the TikTok marketing podcast for business owners and entrepreneurs who want real strategies to generate leads and sales directly from TikTok. I'm your host, Austin Armstrong, and I'll be interviewing real business owners from every industry that are leveraging TikTok to grow their business. You can connect with me on TikTok at SocialtyPro. Let's jump into it. Today's guest is Andrea Sager. Andrea Sager is the CEO and founder of Legalpreneur, a legal tech startup that focuses on offering affordable legal services to businesses of all sizes. While working at a corporate firm, Andrea noticed a gap in the legal industry. No one was catering to the small, innovative startup brands dominating her social media feeds. As a serial entrepreneur, she knew firsthand the importance of building a business with a solid legal foundation. However, she also knew that many new businesses simply did not have the funds. That realization led to the development of Legalpreneur. Because of legal services should be accessible to everyone. In addition to running her own company, Andrea is a mom of two in Houston and is passionate about all things health, wellness, poker, and business. Andrea, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. Just before we jumped on, I was looking through some of your content. Love all of the amazing actionable tips and education that you're putting out there. That's what it's all about.
Thank you. Yeah.
How long have you been active on TikTok now?
So I've really been active since I really started posting in 2019, but very consistent since 2020. That's really, I think, the big one for everybody was when COVID hit, and same for me. That's when I was like, hey, and started really getting some traction, and I've been in love with the platform ever since.
That's fantastic. So how did you first hear about TikTok back in 2019? How did it first get on your radar, and what made you want to jump in?
Oh, man. You know, I don't know. I think I just slowly started seeing a lot of businesses post about it and seeing more creators every single day. And then I remember downloading it just to watch and falling in love with all the content there. And then I just slowly started to post and started getting momentum. And I know my business mastermind that I have been in for several years, we would always talk about growing our audience, and that, because that's a big one, just always wanting to grow the audience. And people slowly started talking more and more about TikTok. And I was like, man, I just need to start posting. And so it's pretty funny going back to those first posts to watch, but it's all a learning experience. And the big thing is just to get started. And that's what I did.
I love that. That's such great advice in general, is just to get started, right? I mean, we look back at all of our content. You look back at the Mr. Beasts, the Gary Vee of the world. Their content's crap at the beginning, but they didn't give up. They kept working at it. They kept pursuing it, and it eventually became what it is today. And you're no exception to that. Yeah, so were you doing social media prior to TikTok as a marketing strategy for Legalpreneur, or was this your first kind of venture into things?
No, I was definitely on Instagram. What's even funnier than TikTok was I kind of started a YouTube channel, I think back in 2019 or 2020. And those videos are just laughable. I saw those a few months ago because we did start the new Legalpreneur channel, but I saw the old one and I was going to delete it, but I was like, you know what? Like, that's going to be some legacy content for people to come back and see years before, so they can just see like the ridiculousness that I thought was okay to post online. But Instagram really was my forte before TikTok. And that I've learned now, I think a lot of people have learned, Instagram is where you nurture your audience, but TikTok is where you're finding new audience members. That's how it is for me. And Instagram was the main thing for a long time. And now, like, I just post there when I have time or when I think about it. But normally it's just creating every single day on TikTok. And it's so easy for me. I do not create highly produced content on TikTok normally, because I'm just like, hey, this normally it comes to me from client questions. They're like, hey, how do I do this? Or what about this? And I'm like, that'll make a great TikTok video. So I just quickly whip out my phone. And I really think that's why I've built the audience that I have on TikTok, because it's very conversational. And being an attorney, people are used to the three-piece suit and not somebody just chit-chatting and giving it to you for free anyway. So that, I think that's really been my niche, is just being able to just quickly whip out content and give it to you straight.
I love that. I love that that was the really raw, just approachable aspect of TikTok as opposed to Instagram, where everything had to be super polished. Yes. Same thing with YouTube. Like in order to have a successful YouTube video and YouTube channel, it had to be this like highly produced thing that was, you know, delivering incredible value, but just scaling it down and talking human to human, educating them is just such a powerful way to grow your personal brand and your business on TikTok. And I still think a lot of people don't see it that way. I talk to a ton of people around the country when I'm speaking at events about TikTok and the opportunity. I still get that feedback. Isn't that dancing app for kids? It's like, it's the end of 2022 here. We're entering 2023. That was, you know, maybe 3 years ago.
Right. And you're never too old for TikTok. I was actually I saw a family member at a funeral last week, and she was posting these videos on Facebook called like coffee in the coop. She would have her morning coffee in her chicken coop and just like talk to people on Facebook. And I was like, you need to post this on TikTok. And she was like, my son thinks I'm too old for TikTok. He said, I don't need to worry about it. I was like, Michelle, do not listen to your son. I am here to tell you that these need to be on TikTok. So it doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing. You have something that's interesting. And that's what people want to hear.
Did she take your advice? Did she do it?
I mean, this was literally like days ago. It hasn't even been a week. So I told her, I was like, you need to start posting. So I am going to be checking up on her.
Okay. You heard it here first. If her channel explodes, it's because of Andrea.
Yeah.
So I got to ask about this poker thing. Are you an active poker? Are you professional? Tell me about this.
I am not professional. I used to own a poker club here in Houston. So I owned it last year and I kind of just flipped it. I bought it. It was the place that I played at the most and it was going to shut down. And I was like, well, I don't want it to shut down. And so I just bought it. And then it just turned around overnight because people just didn't like the previous owners. And it turned around overnight. Within a couple of months, I was like, you know, I'm making money, but I don't want to run a poker club for the rest of my life. And I had people interested, so I just sold it. And now, I mean, I still play several times a week. This past Saturday, I won a tournament, a pretty big tournament. So I make money playing it. I'm not professional, but one day I will be playing in the World Series. So look out for me there too.
I love it. That's incredible. There's a serial entrepreneur nature there too. Just flipping a business.
Super. So absolutely.
Cool. How long did you end up owning it for?
I only had it for like 3 or 4 months. I literally Wednesday night is when I closed on the deal and I, you know, put the word out I owned it now. I had a business partner. And so it was like, hey, we own this now. We're going to have, you know, this on Friday night. And the place was packed. And what hurt us, but why we didn't want to own it anymore is because we were left with 3 employees when we bought it. And our goal was to just slowly build it back up. Like, hey, we just don't want it to close. We can slowly build it back up. No. We were running around in that place doing everything. And so we were kind of just burned out, you know, after a few months because we both had our own businesses. We just were like, hey, we'll share the load here, slowly build it up. But then we completely turned it around overnight. So it was pretty funny how it all happened. And that was honestly probably one of the most fun businesses I've ever owned, but just not for me at this point in my life.
Bravo. That is so cool. Just a side note here. Have you ever thought about starting a poker TikTok channel?
Yes. Somebody just mentioned that to me last week. And I was like, you know what? I probably should because now that so when I owned it, what I never thought about was like, okay, when I'm playing, I feel like I can't really play to win. because like those are our clients, those are our customers. And so now this past year, I've really had the intention out there to get a lot better, because for a while I was just playing to, you know, not give money away to customers, but I just couldn't win the way I wanted to. And so now I've been putting out the intention. I'm like, okay, I really want to get a lot better, you know, get to the point where I can play in the World Series. And now I've been winning a lot more. And so I'm like, you know what? I actually should start a poker channel. And even not even just to like show my winnings, but even to teach other people how to play poker. So many people, because I had a channel when I had the club and then I stopped posting there. But when I had that channel, people were asking me like, hey, can you have like teaching nights? Like, can you, you know, teach us how to play and stuff like that? I'm like, oh, there's a lot of content here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, infinite content that you could create if you really wanted to just make extra work for yourself.
Yeah.
You're busy enough as it is. But pivoting back to Legalpreneur here. So if we can take that time machine back to the early days of when you got started on TikTok, what were those early days like? How were you creating content? And do you remember what your first semi-viral or actual viral video was?
Yes, I do. So first, the content that I was creating, I knew there was a disconnect. I realized there was a disconnect because, so I've always been of the philosophy to just educate, especially when it comes to the legal side of business. What business owners need is education before, because when I very first started on social media, it was like, hey, here's our trademark packages, here's our contracts, and this is, but they don't know why they need that. There's a disconnect. So then once I learned that there was a disconnect, I started breaking it down. It's like, okay, I have to educate them first. So very quickly, I had the philosophy of, I will teach you everything that you need to know for free. That way you can make an educated decision on what you need to get done, how to get it done. And then coming to TikTok, there is still a disconnect because people digest content differently. So taking what I was posting on Instagram and turning it into a video, there were still adjustments that needed to be made. So mm-hmm. Now what I've learned is it's very, of course, you know, you got to have the hook. And so it's breaking down hooks and really breaking down, okay, what's going to get the attention within a second, 3 seconds. And so that's really what the past several months we've been deep diving into is a lot of data and analytics. But my first semi-viral that got like 30,000 views, it was about taxes. But my first like 500,000 video was, it's so funny because we have like our produced videos when we do our hair and makeup and we're here and we're like ready to record. In this video, I recorded it literally right after my workout. I have a SoulCycle bike. And so I had finished my SoulCycle session for the morning. And I just started recording about how I was 29, divorced, fired from my dream job, but I own a $1 million business. And that just completely went viral. And I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that this, me looking like trash, sweaty, would get more views than anything else.
Well, it's so raw and relatable and motivational as well too, right? Like
yeah.
So many other people are dealing with those things, but you're sharing your true authentic experience, and that through everything yeah. that hits you, you yeah. can be successful. You can accomplish all of your dreams and goals. What was it like when you started seeing that video get more and more views? Did you like look the next morning and it was at 500,000, or was it like growing accumulatively? What was going through your head?
So I posted it in the morning, and funny enough, I went that night to go play poker. And so I'm sitting there and it didn't start really taking off until that night. So I posted it probably like before noon that day, mm-hmm. and around probably like 6, 7, 8, I was like, oh my gosh, this thing's going wild. Like literally anytime, like I'd refresh and it'd be 100 new notifications. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And that's where I probably went from like 8,000 to like 25,000 followers overnight.
Wow.
And then I built off of that momentum. But I remember that video taking off and so many people were asking questions. And that's really the momentum that a lot of people need to feed off of when they have these types of videos, is replying to comments, you know, giving the part two, giving, you know, answering all the questions. That's the momentum that I was building off of. And that was also back when I know it was a completely different algorithm, because I look back now at the engagement that I get on videos and I have way more engagement, but way less views. And it's like, man, why do I have so many more views back then and less engagement? But it is what it is. But I remember that when that first video went viral, and then I posted it again. I think it was the end of last year. A lot of people were posting like that, the question, like, post your most viral video. And I posted that again. And again, it got 300,000 views again. And I was like, okay, there's something about this video. And that's really what made me start digging into the hooks and really the data around what's working and what's not.
You just alluded to a brilliant strategy that I've mentioned quite a few times on this podcast with other guests, and that nobody seemed to really think about until those questions, the Q&A functionality had come out. What was your best video? And it sort of forced people to repost their top performing videos. If you had a winner from months ago, a year ago, or 2 years ago, post that sucker again, because it's likely going to take off once again, or re-record it if you want. So, are you actively reposting a lot of your content, or was that a one-off thing?
I actually did post that again a couple of months ago, and I think it may have got 100,000 views. So it's declining, but still very, very high performing. And there's a couple of videos that have several 100,000 views that I do repost. I have reposted, and they continue to perform well. And it's like, okay, how do I recreate this?
Mm-hmm. I love that. And so you had mentioned shifting in algorithms as well. I'm curious what you're noticing, and if you're pivoting your content strategy at all. And just for listeners, not to date it too much, but we're in December of 2022 here, entering into the new year. What are you noticing algorithmically wise that's working best for you? And how are you kind of adapting your TikTok content strategy to that?
Well, I'm realizing that what I have done in the past and what has done decent for me is just like getting on and be like, hey, this is, you know, what's the difference between a trademark and a copyright? Why do you need an LLC? Those in the past have done very well. Right now, those aren't performing for me. And maybe it might be just a matter of changing the hook or whatever. But what is actually doing well for me is duetting and stitching, and actually how-to videos. So I think the duetting and stitching does very well for me, because people will tag me like kind of, so the Derm Doctor, his reaction videos. So yeah, my reaction videos to when somebody calls out somebody for copying another creator, or, you know, copyright infringement, trademark infringement, any legal issues, when people tag me, I'll react to them, duet them, stitch them, whatever. And those do really well. And I think it's just because it's a real life application and explanation of a real life situation happening in real time. Mm. And then the how-to videos, those are great because people save them and they'll come back to them. And a lot of lawyers are afraid to just give away the answers. And I'm just like, I will tell you everything you need to know. I will tell you how to do it on your own. Because I know my ideal client isn't going to DIY. My ideal client is going to be like, okay, this sounds great. Can you just do it for me?
That is the secret to all of this. You are so brilliant. That is one of the biggest marketing unlocks that I had ever learned, is that when you simply just give the keys to the castle away, you give the best information away for free, they're going to know, like, and trust you way more, and they're much more likely to buy from you because you've just proven your expertise. And the reality is that they need their hand held. They need to be held accountable. They're not going to do it themselves. They need that trusted expert. And so you're winning because everybody else is keeping it gated, right, behind those paywalls and consultations.
Yep.
I just commend you on that strategy.
Thank you.
How frequently are you posting right now?
I try to post several times a day. What we started doing this year, so I have a podcast, the Legalpreneur Podcast, and this year we started recording video. And so we're breaking up those clips. And one thing that I'm digging into currently is, okay, do we need to have different clips? Do we need to break up, you know, better sound bites? Or like, how do we get those podcast clips to perform better? So one of my goals for 2023 is to exponentially grow our listenership. And so that's one of my goals, to really break down the clips that we are posting and figure out, okay, how do we get these to perform better? But definitely posting several times a day doesn't mean I'm creating several times a day. I normally am, because I enjoy it, but a lot of it too is just podcast clips.
Now, you had also sort of mentioned around copyright law. What's your take when somebody creates an original video and another creator says, oh, I like that, I'm going to straight up copy it word for word, scene for scene, line by line? Is that okay? Is it, aside from being a little bit frowned upon, are there any legal ramifications there? What's your professional opinion?
So that is copyright infringement. If it is copied word for word, line for line, scene, even not even scene for scene, even if you change a couple of words. Very recently, one of my reaction videos, Coco Moco, she had posted a video, and somebody, a third party, posted a video comparing Coco Moco and this third party that had copied her video. And I reacted to the third party video, and that 100% was copyright infringement, even though the copycat, it was pretty much word for word. There were a couple of things that were changed, but still copyright infringement. There's a big difference between copying ideas and actually copying content, because ideas cannot be protected. It is the actual content that is protected, and she was copying the actual content.
Got it. Did she get slapped with a cease and desist or lawsuit or anything with that?
I don't know. I don't know. I hope Coco Moco did something about it, but she just seems like the sweetest person that I don't know if she ever would.
Coco Moco, if you're listening to this episode,
I know.
There's some information for you. So at a broad level, how has TikTok changed your life?
We have been able to grow and scale tremendously because of TikTok. So that video, the first video that got that 500,000 views, that was January of 2021. And that's when we really took off. I remember when I posted that, I had like 6,000 or 8,000 followers. Now we're at like 67,000. But that first, like January 2021, I'll never forget. We had always like, every once in a while, we would have somebody reach out that found us on TikTok. But that month, directly from people that found us on TikTok, we brought in like $15,000, $20,000 in revenue in my law firm. Yeah. And now, like, people just all the time, oh, I found you on TikTok. I found you on TikTok. So it's incredible to be able to find new audience members, new clients there. I will say it's not, for us, it hasn't been the best as far as like building a community. I think that's really where right now for us, Instagram is where we're nurturing and building that community. TikTok is where people are finding out about us.
Mm-hmm. And are you just monetizing TikTok through client acquisition, or are you monetizing in several ways?
Yeah. So this year, finally, 2022, I wanted to, so also went through a divorce through all that time. And so 2022, one of my big goals was to start brand deals. And so finally started working with some brands. And that's been a huge game changer, because it's not like I don't have millions of followers or hundreds of thousands, but it's a very, very niche audience. So anybody that's trying to reach small businesses, like, we're it. And so, and it's not just like somebody that's trying to start a small business. No, it is people that have a small business and are making actually making money. And so being able to bring those brand deals to the platform for us has been huge, because not only is it bringing in money, which is great, but it's also bringing in new resources for our clients. Because what I've learned is, not only am I like here for legal advice, they just come to me for just general business advice and general things for business. And so the more resources we can provide, it's amazing.
Just a curious thought here. Have you ever been approached by or thought about helping other lawyers grow their presence on social media?
I have had a couple of people ask in the past. I've never had the capacity to do that. However, we literally just launched our Legalpreneur Attorney certification. So that is, that's coming, and people are already asking, you know, for help on social media. And because so many people, they're just afraid to post, and it, more than anything, it's just mindset, getting out of your own way. But yeah, that is coming.
I love that. Could you quickly walk us through your funnel from the moment someone sees your video to becoming a client? What are all of the steps in between?
Great question. What's been tricky is we have so many different entrance points to the funnel, because so ideally somebody comes to us and they're like, hey, I need to legally protect my business. And we're like, hey, great. Go to our legal protection playbook. It's $37, teaches you everything you didn't know you needed to know about the legal side of your business. And then it comes with a Q&A call. And then from there, it's figuring out, okay, are they a done for you, which is our Legalpreneur membership, or are they DIY? We have a DIY legal protection bundle. So from there, it's deciphering them, putting them in those two buckets. That's the ideal situation. But a lot of times we'll get people that are like, oh, I just need a trademark. I just need an LLC. I just need this. And so it's these one-off products, which we still have, but really they think they just need this one-off product when really they do need the full picture. And typically they do need the Legalpreneur membership, but it's a battle of trying to, it's like they're already sold on this one thing. So it's like, we don't want to push them to be sold in the membership and then lose them on the one thing. So now it's getting them on that one thing, and then eventually getting them into the membership. So ideally it's getting them into that playbook and then getting to the membership. But sometimes they're like, oh, I just need this one thing. And then eventually we help them see, hey, you actually do need your own attorney. And so that's where the membership comes in.
Now, would you feel comfortable sharing how much revenue you've generated specifically from TikTok for your business?
Yeah. So I don't even know the total number, but I would say for specifically clients, it is probably about $500,000. And then, wow. Yeah. So yeah, clients all the time, because we're doing a better job as well of figuring out where they come from. And right now, I think more than anything, people are like, oh, I found you on TikTok. So right now, definitely our biggest revenue driver. And then for brand deals, about 20 to 30,000.
That is incredible. Bravo.
Thank you. I really want to up the brand deals. That's my goal for 2023. My goal is to bring in 10 to 20,000 a month. Mm-hmm. But, there's just only so much time in the day, and I need to hire somebody to help me with it. And I just haven't done it yet.
You're going to get there. Absolutely. So what advice would you give? What tactical advice to, say, a lawyer that's listening to this, or maybe just a business owner in general? You've convinced them they want to make $500,000 from TikTok. What are some actionable steps that they should take?
So number one, just get started. Just get started posting. But you also want to make sure that you know your funnel. A lot of attorneys don't necessarily have a funnel. They're just like, oh, call us, or like, contact me if you need help. But when you have that viral video and there's thousands of people, hundreds of people that want to get in contact with you, you really just need to have it automated. And so having that playbook for us, that's what really, it has been a game changer as far as even just getting a little bit of revenue. Instead of getting them on a one-on-one call to hear about what they need, they get in the playbook and they're kind of self-qualifying themselves while paying us. And so it's just figuring it, but it's a process. Like, don't, I just finished with a 7-figure planning call with some of our members. And one of my biggest things was like, look, this is what we currently have in place, but it took us years to get there. We did not have this in place from day one. So the best thing you can do is just get started and then perfect it.
Such fantastic advice. Now, I know you're working on a book. Tell us a little bit about that. What do you have going on for 2023?
My labor of love for 2022. So in 2021, when I was going through the divorce and everything, I've always known I've had like bigger plans, bigger dreams. And that's part of why I decided to step away from that marriage. But it started coming on my heart that I wanted to write a book, a legal book, because we put out so much free content, so much free stuff, but it's spread out everywhere. Like, you could spend days, hours looking for everything and you would still have more to listen to, more to read. And so I was like, you know what? All this stuff already exists. I've already put it out there into the world. I just want one concise place for it. But for a long time in my head, I was like, who's going to want to read a legal book? Mm-hmm. And so I was in my own way. And then finally I was like, no, like, you attract small business owners who love to read. They love self-development. They love personal development. And this is going to be one of those books that sits on their coffee shelf and they're going to gift it to all their friends, because everybody knows a small business owner. They know a side hustler, and this is going to be the best resource for them. It's going to be because they don't have to hire an attorney to learn what they need. They don't have to pay an attorney to teach them what they need to know. They can just pick up the book, read it, and get all the resources they need. So it's Legalpreneur, the Business Owner's Guide to Legally Protecting Your Business. It's available now for pre-order, but it'll officially be coming out at the end of January, January 25th. And I'm really, really excited, because just the fact that I got out of my own way, and right so far, the feedback we've received for the book, even with the pre-orders, has been incredible. And even Lewis Howes, he told me, he's like, everybody needs this book. So hearing that from him, I was like, okay, I'm doing something right.
You are a rock star. We're going to have a link in the show notes of this episode to that book. So everybody go check that out, pre-order it, leave a review so it can hit the top of the charts. Andrea, you are amazing. How can everybody connect with you, follow you, so that they could learn more?
Yeah. So we're at The Legalpreneur on TikTok and Instagram. My personal Instagram is Andrea Sager Law, and also YouTube is The Legalpreneur. So check us out. And I would love to hear from all of you. And thank you so much, Austin.
Thank you so much. Any final thoughts, words of wisdom, any closing notes that you'd like to share?
Just don't be afraid to post. Like, it honestly, most of the time, it's just a matter of us getting out of our own way. And if you're embarrassed by the content, go look up my Andrea Sager Law YouTube account and look at those awful videos and know that I refuse to delete them, because I want people to know, like, this is where I am, but this is where I was.
Yeah, I love that. Share the journey along the way. You are awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope everybody took as much value away from this as I did.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Business Talk. If you feel like you're ready to get started on TikTok, I have a completely free TikTok checklist that you can find in the show notes and description of this episode. If you found this episode inspiring, consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes or your favorite podcast listening platform. I know that's a lot to ask of you, but it really does help the podcast reach more people. Do you have any feedback about the show or a guest you'd like to recommend? Email me at podcast@socialtypro.com. Until next time.